gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's no Sarah Palin's Alaska, but it is Stephanie Miller's Los Angeles. Welcome to it. Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. We are, oh, by the way, we're on Ustream.
That's right.
You can see me now.
That's right.
Which inhibits my ability to shovel food into my mouth and pick my nose, which I did last week, and before I realized that was up. Hi! Hi, everybody. Oh, reality television is here to stay.
And you can get to it via the links posted at your Facebook page, and you tweeted them. You tweeted the links as well.
We need bears in here if we're going to have this on television, apparently.
Bears? Oh, bears.
Okay. Yes.
Well.
Sarah Palin has bears.
I think I could score you some bears.
6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. You know it. You love it. It's the best way to host an online meeting. If you're not using GoToMeeting, then I don't know what to say about you.
You suck.
My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. All right. A big Monday show as usual. Rude Pundit, Eric Boland, Edie McClurg. Mondays with McClurg.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it's getting, well, I grew up in Buffalo, so I mean cold. But you know when it gets colder?
Chilly.
In Los Angeles. Yes.
Yeah.
Can I have some Mysteries of the Universe music? This is Stephanie Miller's deep thoughts this morning. What happens, you know, your comforter and your bed, what happens during the night? I don't know maybe it's just me because I have insomnia and I'm thrashy,
mm-hmm.
but do you ever wake up and you have a giant comforter boulder on top of you, like it somehow becomes just a giant ball, and then you have to lift it off of you to get out of bed? Like Jesus, you have to roll the stone away in order to arise. And I
think that's just you and your thrashiness. Boy, you must be...
Really? It just becomes a giant...
You must be delightful
boulder.
To sleep next to.
I don't know. Ask Max and Fred. I'll blame them for the comforter boulder that I had to roll away from the opening of my bed.
Oh, God.
So that I could arise this morning. All right. Mama had a big weekend. Are you ready for some... I'm too big for my fancy Hollywood britches name dropping?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was at the, the benefit, the big gala for the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center event that was hosted by my friend Lily Tomlin, which she was, if you have an opportunity in your lifetime to see Lily Tomlin in person perform, she's brilliant.
Yes.
And amazing. And she said, my friend Stephanie Miller from the stage, which that's going to, I'm going to be. Every conversation I've had with a friend this weekend started with, so Lily says from the stage, my friend Stephanie Miller. So the conversation for the rest of my life, in 20 years, remember that time that Lily said Stephanie Miller from the state?
What?
She did Ernestine.
Oh, cool.
I mean, it was...
One thing I want to do before I die is see her perform Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe.
I was sitting next to Jane Wagner, the Pulitzer Prize-winning Jane Wagner.
Yes.
Her partner, who, has written all of the... It was... what a night. What a night. And everybody raised... we raised lots of money for the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, which is doing just such great work. Literally the Lord's work these days in trying to help, you know, at-risk gay kids and all of that. So, seriously, it was like the best event I've ever been to like that. Lily hosted it. Jane Lynch, hilarious. I'm getting to that age anywhere where you can't tell whether the incontinence is caused by brilliant comedians or just, you're like, oh, I went a little bit. She was hilarious. We're going to try to get her on the show. She's just so smart and funny and whatever. She apparently, there's going to be an amazing episode of Glee tomorrow where she, Carol Burnett, plays her mother. And
then she
has a duet with Carol Burnett. And she even said, I am great in this episode. but she was hilarious. She said, I am not an activist. She said, I'm far too narcissistic and lazy. She said, I'm a bloated armchair warrior, but I like to complain. But I thought it was a perfect, perfect sort of a testimonial on politics today. Mm-hmm. And she just, but she said, I can write checks. And she's just been I think she's an inspiration. All right. So what else? What else happened? Oh, one dream died. One dream of mine dies at least every weekend.
What happened now?
I was supposed to meet my other comedy idol, Carol Burnett.
That's right. What happened there? Did you scare her away?
No. And here is one dream that died that I was not responsible for, as far as I know.
Okay.
Yes, she was supposed to be actually presenting the award to Jane Lynch. She was also supposed to be performing. Her brother-in-law, I think, passed away unexpectedly. She was in rehearsals at the Gay and Lesbian Center. That was very sad. So she had to leave at the last minute. And so old Kathy Griffin came and filled in. Who's going to come on the Stephanie Miller Show to promote her? She promised me in person. Kathy Griffin filled in, and she is going to be headlining the Trevor Live event out here for the Trevor Project. Mm-hmm. And so she, December 5th, get your tickets now.
She hasn't been on the show in 12 years.
Well, that's, it's coming, the dry spot is coming to an end. She promised me.
All right.
She said she wanted to come on. I said, well, your people always say no.
Yeah, we've in this iteration of the show, I think we've asked about four or five times.
All right.
You know, I think we've become a pest to her people.
Yes.
So.
And this probably isn't helping.
No.
Currently.
Great. Okay.
All right. Anyway, but what was my point? You got me lost in there. So that was our thoughts and prayers go out to Carol Burnett. Lily Tomlin, though, hilarious, I must say, she just went ahead and did the routine that she and Carol were supposed to do.
Oh. Okay.
She just said, and now here's where Carol was supposed to say this. Anyway. All right. A love letter, speaking of which, since we were on the subject, and I'm freshly annoyed by watching John McCain on Meet the Press and why he's currently against Don't Ask, Don't Tell being overturned.
While his wife is out there being an activist.
Can we give her a big... Yeah, give Cindy McCain a... Yeah. She's in the It's Getting Better video.
Sure. Would have been helpful during the campaign.
She is, Cindy McCain. Well, I'll get to this, okay. Then I'll go back to the thing. Cindy McCain speaking out against the ban on gays serving openly in military while her husband, of course, working to maintain it. Mm-hmm. In the bedroom. In a anti-bullying video, she says government treats the gay community like second-class citizens and gives permission to bullies by continuing policies that discriminate. Mrs. McCain says religious and political leaders tell young gays and lesbians that they have no future. Her asshat husband is currently the one blocking the...
Yep.
Did you... By the way, here, I'll get to this letter in a minute.
All right.
Did you... Does he just pull new reasons out of his ass?
Yes.
I mean, seriously, now he doesn't even like the study that's not done yet. Now he thinks the study wasn't actually done correctly. Now we need a new study.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
I was just like, I can't even watch this. This is just, I don't know.
And to think I even considered voting for that man in 2000.
He was like, well, the study's about, you know, how to implement it. It's not whether it should be. It's like, what? What? He literally is like, oh, I don't even like it. So now if the study, as is being reported, comes out that, you know, it's fine and the service members are fine with it. It's like he's preemptively going, oh, well, they did the study wrong. So now even if they tell me, what is his problem? How is this a guy that was on tape saying when they come to me and say this should be overturned?
He's an opportunist.
Yeah.
The winds have changed. I mean, he's following the winds of change in his state. He's not a maverick anymore.
I find it all right. Okay, this is, it's a little love letter from New Zealand, which is why I thought it was Trisha.
Oh, okay.
Trisha writes, Steph, I'm an 18-year-old listener from New Zealand and have a Stephcast subscription, only $4.95 a month, if you buy a year in advance.
What does that translate into New Zealand dollars?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's a bargain, really, in any...
In any language.
No, exactly. Yeah. She says, am I the only person who assumed you had to wait a year to listen to the podcast as opposed to buying a year's worth of podcasts at once?
Oh.
You.
Oh, dear.
Trisha, you may be the only... No, you can listen right away. You don't need to...
Right. You just buy a year's worth of...
Yes, in which you get the bargain price of $4.95
right.
a month.
Right. Now, if you want...
If you have a fear of commitment...
Right.
As many people do, then it's $7.95 a month.
Which is still...
A bargain. Okay. But you do not have to wait a year to listen.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. It's like the people that don't understand the time checks. We'll review time zones issue again as well. Okay. Some people have asked why I don't say exactly what time it is, and I'm like, well, because it's a different time.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain it's a different time in New Zealand than it is right now.
I'm sure it's a different season in New Zealand than it is.
Exactly. Happy spring to everyone in New Zealand. Trisha writes, first from New Zealand. First of all, I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for publicly coming out. You've helped to show me that it's possible to be a successful dopey brunette with bangs who just happens to be gay. Yes, I have made it safe for dopey brunettes with bangs everywhere. I think I'm the reason Christine O'Donnell thought she could be a senator. It Gets Better video really helped me, though I was at first concerned that you had been attacked by some eyeliner-wielding panda bear.
Oh. Huh?
As I felt you were speaking directly to me, letting me know I'm going to be fine. Yes, that's the Cindy McCain video. She did the It Gets Better video, like Mama did.
I don't think she mentioned eyeliner-wearing panda bears, though.
As the survivor of suicide attempts, this means the world to me. Does this fan letter qualify me to be the official Kiwi lesbian stalker of the Stephanie Miller Show? Yes.
We need one.
Yes, I believe one just dropped off.
Yeah.
Yes. You are my number one role model because you've shown me that immature, sarcastic, dopey brunettes with bangs can be successful, charming, smart, and fun to be around. Tricia in New Zealand. Thank you, Tricia. Obviously, another dopey brunette with bangs like me. All right. She may have missed the point of all that, but all right. Thank you, Tricia. We love you. Whatever time or season it is in New Zealand, and
she's
whenever you're listening to this a year from now, perhaps.
They call people from New Zealand Kiwis.
Indeed, they do.
Yes.
All right.
Just thought I'd pass that info
along.
Thank
you. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. So much to get to as we continue. Rude Pundit coming up shortly on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm so glad you played this. You know why?
Why?
Oh, I forgot to mention how hilarious our good friend Julie Brown was at the big gala on Saturday night here in Los Angeles.
Julie Brown, singer of Vague?
Yeah, she did Vague with all her male dancers. Hilarious.
Did
she has a new version of Vague. Celebrities that are very, very vague. And it's... She was seriously hilarious. What a great event. I'm so sorry. I forgot to mention her in the opening.
I believe she said she was going to put that version up on iTunes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, don't quote me on that. But
well, she debuts most things here on the Stephanie Miller Show. And once again, I don't have to leave my house or my studio.
Yes.
Big
clown
important.
Pants.
Oh, that's right. She debuted Big Clown Pants.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, yeah, she was a hilarious. And by the way, there was Jane Lynch did a Vogue parody. Was that on Glee? But they played it.
Oh, yeah. It was on the Madonna episode of Glee.
Hilarious. Hilarious. All right. If Keith Olbermann didn't say it, I didn't see it.
You should watch Glee.
I'm going to.
I think you would really like it.
I have to
and
watch
Modern
the one
Family.
Tomorrow night.
Have you seen Modern Family yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Hilarious. All right. By the way, we were talking about John McCain on Meet the Press yesterday being a homophobic asshat about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
And his wife obviously just did, Cindy McCain, as we mentioned, did an anti-bullying video where she obviously says she's for overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which her asshat husband is blocking.
Right.
And she then she tweeted, you said?
Oh, yeah. She
tweeted that she stands by her husband.
Her husband stands on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Square that?
She said she fully supports the No Hate campaign.
Yes.
But stands by her husband on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Here's what I think happened, and I'm just speculating wildly, but that's what radio is for. I think, perhaps her husband maybe. Remember there was that mysterious bandage on her arm during the campaign?
Yes.
He's known to have a bit of an anger management problem.
I think her husband corrected her.
I think her husband probably... I'm just saying, it's just very odd. I don't know how you square those two views. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be overturned immediately, which my asshat husband is almost single-handedly blocking with, I'm for that, but I also stand by my husband. That the study or something, whatever, should be completed or maybe a new one done or something because...
Her next public appearance, is she going to have to say that she ran into a door?
Maybe she will have to say that grandma told grandma she fell off the swing.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Also on Meet the Press, everybody talking about David Axelrod, White House advisor on the tax cut situation.
There's no bend on the permanent extension of tax cuts for the wealthiest American. We want to get this done. The American people expect to get this done, and we are eager to sit down and talk about how to move forward.
Obviously, people already getting. Frank Rich had another great piece yesterday. We will talk about, but this is the problem with getting all compromisey. I'm like, how do you? Because did you see that the loophole in that one? There's no bend on the permanent extension,
yep.
So that means there might be a
temporary
extension. I do not know what good purpose extending the tax cuts for the top 2%.
Did you see Schumer yesterday? He said, "Oh, we could probably, you know, raise it to, you know, people who make $1 million or more."
Charlene sent me this. It's going around the interwebs.
Mm. As things are wont to do.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, it's true. After these midterms, it's just some good stuff. After the it's just talking about the teabaggers, et cetera, in general. After the 8 years of the Bush-Cheney disaster, now you get mad? I'm not reading the whole thing.
No, thanks.
It's when people have to tell you their whole dream.
Yeah.
I had this dream last night. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Or like some little kid joke.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, yeah. And then you were in an elevator with... Okay.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Okay, you didn't get mad when we illegally invaded a country that posed no threat to us. You didn't get mad when we spent over $800 billion and counting on said illegal war. You didn't get mad when Bush borrowed more money from foreign sources than the previous 42 presidents combined. You didn't get mad when over $10 billion in cash just disappeared in Iraq. You didn't get mad when Bush embraced trade and outsourcing policies that shipped 6 million American jobs out of the country. You didn't get mad when Bush rang up $10 trillion in combined budget and current account deficits. You didn't get mad when we gave the people who had more money than they could spend, the filthy rich, over $1 trillion in tax breaks. You didn't get mad with the worst 8 years of job creation in several decades. You didn't get mad when over 200,000 U.S. citizens lost their lives because they had no health insurance. You didn't get mad when lack of oversight and regulations from the Bush administration caused U.S. citizens to lose $12 trillion in investments, retirement, and home values. You finally got mad when a black man was elected president and decided that people in America deserve the right to see a doctor if they're sick. Yes, illegal wars, lies, corruption, torture, job losses by the millions, stealing your tax dollars to make the rich richer, and the worst economic disaster since 1929 are all okay with you. But helping fellow Americans who are sick, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no, he didn't.
Hell no, you can't!
Yeah. All right. It's some good stuff ricocheting around the interwebs if you take a moment to peruse.
Yes.
That's
what I do all day long.
Some people paying attention is all I'm saying. Here we go. So we have Richard with some fun facts on... Peter. Peter in Libertyville. Do you remember our right-wing caller on Friday? We love our right-wing talking point callers,
yeah.
Don't we?
Gosh. They're easy to play with like cat toys.
Every once in a while, I must give people the opportunity, because a lot of people scream at the radio and don't have a chance to call, and so I'm giving you a chance to vent.
Okay.
Your right-wing caller from Friday, Peter says, Steph, I was screaming at the radio during his call and the talking points. Number one, he mentioned Bush's average unemployment rate. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
He goes, oh, wouldn't you like that back again? Wouldn't you like that? It was 5-point-something, blah, blah. Peter says, they love that one. That's like saying, on the average, the Titanic's voyage was iceberg-free. I mean, that's the thing. If you look at the charts, which I think Rachel was the only one that had these up,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see what happened and what's been happening since Obama's been in office. Of course, you go, oh, if you take an average, the reality is Bush tanked the economy.
Yes.
And, caused this, the unemployment was, whatever. You can't say it enough. Losing 700,000 jobs a month. We've been going up and up and up since the president,
yep.
Obama, took office. Number two, name one Bush policy. Oh, he said name one Bush policy that caused it? How about deregulation of the financial markets, appointing industry friends as regulators, crazy deficit spending, off-booking the wars? He says Frank and Dodd, they love to bring up that and blame the crisis on the Democrats, poor people, and minorities. Nonsense. They fail to note almost all the toxic loans were non-CRA mortgages. CRA mortgages had a higher repayment rate than conventional loans, and the GOP ran the whole government. Amazing! Peter in Libertyville. Thank you. 29 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Okay, you little bitch, that's it. You want to f*** with me? Let's go!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This portion brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for that 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Do it now before it's too late. And enter the offer code Stephanie. All right, Monday, we...
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Why you sound so serious and sultry this morning?
Well, I've been on the road all weekend, and so it puts me in a serious mood because all I can do is contemplate.
Oh, no.
He's been masturbating on the road a lot. All right.
You can call contemplate. I'll call it contemplation.
Sure. You've been lost in thought. All right. Your rudeness. I'll always love the photos. And this one, the first one you post, photos that make the Rude Pundit want to down a six-pack of Four Loko. The picture of George W. Bush. Isn't it been delightful to see him again?
It has been. Mm. It really has reminded us all how much we miss him.
Yes. You, in this particular picture, of course, you say, there he is, looking like a mime in an imaginary box of his own making. Or maybe he's doing jazz hands because he just doesn't give a what you ass think. He was speaking in Dayton on Veterans Day, referring to soldiers who go on high-risk missions. The man who couldn't even finish his time avoiding going to Vietnam said, I was constantly amazed by their willingness to volunteer in the face of danger. That would be for missions in our wars of his choosing. His reemergence this week as a kind of backwards-ass book hawker ought to remind us all the dangers we now face are the ones we didn't volunteer for, but the ones that he foisted on us. Thank you for that historical perspective, your rudeness.
Yeah, and isn't it a shame that it seems like it was like a century ago, or it's treated like it was a century ago, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And everybody says, oh, it's time to stop blaming Bush. It's like, well, World War II's over. We haven't stopped blaming Hitler. I'm just not to make an analogy, Rude. You
no,
understand.
And don't get me near the Japanese.
Yeah. And give us some of your a few random observations regarding the reemergence of George W. Bush. Go ahead.
You know, it was, if you saw him on any of those, obviously you saw him on many of those interviews because that's your job.
Yes.
Sad. Isn't that sad that becomes part of our jobs, having to sit there and stomach this crap?
It's like an acid flashback. Oh, not again. I've got to watch Bush. Oh.
Yeah. And I love the way that blame Bush is scoffed at by the right, like the same way they scoff at, I don't know, African Americans blaming slavery. Oh, blame that. That was so long ago. You were never a slave.
As Carly Fiorina would say, it's so yesterday, apparently. It was so, so very long ago.
Yeah.
And has nothing to do with our current economic state at all.
So yesterday.
And just to hear him say things like, you know, like the photo op at Katrina was a terrible idea. And
Not his response, just that he got caught.
No. And that Kanye, I love the Kanye West thing. I just love that getting in a throwdown with a rapper was the most disgusting moment of his presidency. And it's wow, you really weren't paying attention, were you? Because as far as disgusting goes, I think we should go Abu Ghraib or bodies floating around in Katrina.
Or 9/11, as you write about 9/11, we were going to find out who did this and kick their asses, and you say, how'd that work out?
the book is just this way. It's such a spin job. The entire I picked it up and read a couple of chapters of it, and it's nauseating how unreflective this man is. And the other thing that's strange, and I don't know how much this has actually gotten discussed, is how much of the book really seems to be about justifying family love. Like, yes, I really love my mom. I really love, and my kids, they really love me. The man cries at the drop of a hat when he receives a letter from his father or his daughter or something. He must just carry them around in a big folder so he can take them out.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, Kathy Griffin, who I saw perform Saturday night, said she's calling Bolt on the fetus in a jar story, which you mentioned as well.
What the hell? Why would you put a fetus in a jar?
Yeah, no, she was, Kathy Griffin was saying, which is fairly hilarious, it's disgusting. What are the chances that his Barbara Bush miscarries and then they happen to have a jar just that size and say, would you like to take this home? I mean,
well,
seriously?
Maybe it was blueberry season.
I mean, I for those of you that haven't heard, so this is the, what is the story about the George W. Bush claims what exactly?
He claims that his mom had a miscarriage.
Yes.
And she picked up the remains of whatever she miscarried. I mean, he leaves out this crucial part of the story, is that his mom, wherever she miscarried, she picked up whatever fell out and put it in a jar to bring to the hospital. And driving to the hospital with George, she hands him the jar, you know, and maybe it's hold this, I have to shift gears.
Yes. And, oh, right, because it probably was back in the days of stick shift.
Exactly.
So you can't really carry your fetus in a jar and drive stick.
Well, not to mention what kind of, you know, jerk lets his mom, who just had a miscarriage, drive.
Anyway, but this, he uses this whole story. This is why he's pro-life. Is that? I've never understood that, because I remember back when I lived in New York, where you know, when they have the all those anti-choice protests, and they sometimes were known to throw around like a fetus, because that's
right.
How they showed respect for human life. That they
right,
would
right toss yeah. the fetus. I think the incident really was, whoa, George, no, that's not moonshine.
Yes, that's not a B&B.
Yeah. No, put the jar down, George.
Oh, by the way, that's because, you know, anything drinking related is a top story here.
It's been confirmed what a B&B is.
Yes. See, and I knew it, and I'm right as
you
always,
are.
Rude. Thank you.
Oh,
so people, okay, because he talked about drinking a B&B, and everyone's like, what the hell is that?
Right.
And because you know how he was such a fake Texan rancher,
right.
Whatever, everyone said, oh, it must be bourbon and branch. That's a, you know, it's what they call water there.
Yeah.
That's a, the, you know, whatever. But Alice was the first one to tell me. Let's see, here it is. I'm listening to the radio this weekend. They're making fun of George Bush's book. George himself said, I bought some Benedictine and brandy. See?
Yeah.
It's that snotty East Coast. He's a liberal prep kid from Connecticut.
He didn't even get drunk on anything cool.
No.
Benedictine and brandy.
Yeah, yes. Something really sickly sweet. I never pictured him drinking something like that.
Oh, are you kidding? He is a girl drink drunk if there ever is.
Yes. Alice said instead his sissy blue blood Connecticut roots show, and he drinks Benedictine and brandy.
Oh, you know it. You know that after a hard day of cheerleading, he just sits down for the thermos of B&B. And
that's what I said. I'm like, he's not a real Texan. It wasn't a real ranch. And I'm like, a B&B was not a Texas drink. I'm sure it, because he's a snooty East Coast prep
that's
school
right.
kid.
Yeah.
Benedictine and brandy.
Benedictine and brandy. Wow. I think that we all need to get drunk on Benedictine and brandy this week, just to see what kind of drunk it is. It's got to be one of those, you know, loathsome, look yourself in the mirror,
yeah.
hate everything about you kind of drunks, because your mom didn't pay enough attention to you. Or maybe to get rid of the image of your mom's fetus floating.
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably when he started drinking. I think I'm going with the moonshine jar.
Yeah,
I'll never forget that, because it was when I think it was the first time I lived in New York. There literally was an anti-choice protest, and one of the protesters left the fetus in the hotel room by mistake. That's the kind of respect for human life
wow.
they have. How do you go, keys, wallet, time to go to the protest? left the dead fetus in the hotel room that I was supposed to heave at people to show how much I respect human life.
Oh, I just love the idea of the protester being in the thick of everything going, oh, yeah, it's fetus tossing time, and then going, oh, son of a,
Joe, where's my prop? All right, the other thing you write about, obviously, is the don't ask, don't tell. You seem as annoyed as I am by John McCain yesterday.
What an asshat,
yeah.
You know. How do you wake up in the morning? He should be drinking B&B and trying to figure out his life, or maybe he drinks it before he, you know, he calls Cindy awful names, like what he called her, the C word back.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes.
They don't even sleep at the same house anymore, isn't that right?
Oh, wouldn't it be great if she's gay? Oh, I'm just saying, if her next announcement.
She did get a very short haircut recently.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Her car salesman boyfriend might be surprised by that.
Oh, you know who else I met this weekend? Meredith Baxter Burney, who is delightful.
Oh.
I'm just does saying.
Does she go Meredith Baxter Burney? Is she kept the Burney?
I don't.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Well, okay. You're getting in with all of the big Hollywood lesbians.
You write, Rick Pundit.
Meredith card? Factor Bernie's a lesbian?
I was trying to magically. I was thinking I could set her up with Cindy McCain. I don't know.
Yeah. Blonde on blonde. It's great.
So you write, the public and members of the military tell pollsters in large majorities either okie dokie or who gives a happy monkey. When asked, I don't think that was the actual wording of the polling, but when asked if they think gays and lesbians should be allowed to serve openly in the armed forces. So, of course, it looks like Democrats are going to cave to the last people in America who still think Sergeant Joe Sissy Pants is going to get all rapey in the barracks with his troops or conjuring up a licking bull dyke. Okay, who stands in a women's shower and thinks, smorgasbord! And then you say, here's John McCain, who vowed a filibuster to defense spending bill if it contains don't ask, don't tell repeal, because, you know, apparently it's not treason anymore to block funding to the troops. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and this is going back. I put in some things from the original hearing that they had after the don't ask, don't tell policy was put into place. And it's to think about that McCain here's probably my favorite line. Is McCain asking Colin Powell,
right.
Well, how about General Powell if they went in transvestite clothing?
To a gay parade, yeah.
Yeah, if you were cross-dressing at a gay pride march, is that enough to trigger an investigation under Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Yeah. Yeah, the transcript is really pretty ridiculous. You know, it's because someone's like, well, you know, you could just support gay rights and be at a gay parade. Like, I mean, it really is such a ridiculous discussion.
And because they knew it was a ridiculous policy in the start. The whole thing was just a sop to the conservatives, to Sam Nunn, who was going to go ballistic if Clinton just used an executive order to overturn it, because there's always going to be some backwards-ass redneck blocking the way. And this time, he just happens to be from Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. Your rudeness, delightful as always, rudepundit.blogspot.com. I know that. Okay.
Well, then why do you always hesitate before saying
I hesitate because I think there might be an org, and then I realize...
Oh, I always thought it was for drama, like a dramatic pause.
Yes.
Before.
Yes, where people are going, is it org or com? It's
well,
com.
I hope it's not
or EDU.
Net. I can never tap net.
Yeah.
All right, see you next week, honey.
Bye.
There he goes.
Yay.
His rudeness. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning.
Christmas came early, and so did Jim Ward.
Beg your pardon?
Hmm?
Huh? What have you heard?
What?
No,
what?
Yeah, well, it's a little thing, but I'm on avail, as they say in the biz, for a voiceover gig, meaning they couldn't make up their mind by Friday evening whether I have it or not.
Oh.
So
no.
Just in case I have to leave early.
Well, I came early. Thank you, Jim! Just in case they decide to go another direction, as they say in the business.
We went another direction.
Meaning not you. A direction that is not you.
Completely
that is someone
not
that is
you.
Completely different than
we
you.
We liked you Friday afternoon, Monday morning. No, we don't. We don't anymore.
It happens.
We used to like you.
Listen,
now
as Lily Tomlin
said
about Jane Lynch when she was getting her award this weekend, she goes, I always love it when there's an overnight success, but it's been in the business for 20 years, which she has. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. What I'm saying is you may get a part on Glee. You never know.
Really? Wow.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Could be.
As what?
Just don't ask me to dance.
He's karaoke king. He can sing. 47
He doesn't necessarily look like a high schooler, though.
That could be the principal.
Exactly.
I played a high school principal.
Thank you.
All right.
47 minutes after the hour.
The principal who sings.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert of Media Matters for America coming up in just a few minutes. To co-host Right Wing World at the top of the hour. All right. Lots to get to, which I moved everything around since Jim got here early.
And now
he's...
No in casa.
I don't... Jim?
Jim!
Okay. As I backpedal. I know what I want to do quickly.
What?
I want to salute my good friends in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's good to be number one at something. Add one more study to the stack that shows Wisconsin leads the country when it comes to alcohol abuse. And I'm just saying...
Good for them.
Well, and it also explains why they voted Russ Feingold out.
No, oh, because they were drunk.
They were. Same reason that for Bush's disastrous presidency. He was drunk. Okay. Oh, hi, Jim. You're back. Good to see you. I saved, because you came in early, I saved you. Here's a little conspiracy snossage. Actually, it's not even a conspiracy snossage, but I saved it for you.
It's an actual conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can't say who he is. Because it's not a famous person, but Steph, may I please be the official air traffic controller of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Mm-hmm.
That definitely was a missile shot off our coast last Monday.
Yep.
I work the airspace where the launch occurred. There are designated warning areas over the ocean for the purpose of missile launches, and this launch appears to have originated there. However, the airspace was not hot or closed to aircraft at that time for a launch. The Navy base at San Nicolas Island is a launch site and could be the point of origin, or a submarine or an aircraft carrier. A carrier was believed to be in the vicinity at the time as well. All of my fellow controllers are laughing hysterically that the Department of Defense is claiming the Sergeant Schultz defense and knows nothing.
I see nothing.
Ridiculous. Someone with a star on their shoulder screwed up hugely, and they're covering up. Please don't identify me or my ass is grass. Trust me, I'm from the government. That was a missile.
Wow.
Oops, yeah.
Well, and obviously wasn't a contrail. I mean, it was coming up straight out of the ocean. You could see flames at the top of it.
Yeah.
Unless the plane was on fire and shooting vertically into the air.
Right.
And
yeah, you'd think that might have made the news. If there was a plane on fire shooting vertically into the air.
And if it was a contrail, then why were no other planes in the area?
I totally agree with you, Jim.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. See what happens when you come in early. You get a little gift. All right. Enjoy.
Now let's talk about Building 7.
Oh, for the love of God. Okay. Oh, and also, Richard in Orange wanted to remind us that it was the 35th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald in Lake Superior. Shouldn't we honor this occasion? And I think...
Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the missiles of autumn come early.
Missiles?
I'll be over here in the hammock. Yeah, boo! Don't we miss those long-ass story songs from the 70s.
The ship was tossed and the boys were hurling their lunch up. And, no, that's not how it goes.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, that and American Pie.
The long story songs. It really is. It's like the musical versions of someone telling you their dream.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
And then I was riding on a blue whale and I... What?
My friend was just telling me yesterday, I had a dream. I was with Joan Rivers in an elevator, and she was telling me this, and I'm just like, is it rude to just say, I just don't care? I just don't care about your dream. I really don't.
I had a dream that I remembered my dreams, but it was just a dream, so I can't recall.
All right. Jim, it's Monday.
What? Huh?
It's Monday.
Already? Wow.
Is the hint for, I guess, the quote.
Hmm.
Who said in the aftermath of the great Democratic shellacking of 2010, one election night subplot quickly receded into the footnotes, the drubbing received by very wealthy Americans, most of them Republican, who tried to buy Senate seats and governor's mansions. By losing so decisively, they gave us a ray of hope in dark times. Their defeats reminded us that despite much recent evidence to the contrary, the inmates don't always end up running the asylum of American politics. The wealthy Americans we should worry about instead are the ones who implicitly won the election, those who take far more from America than they give back. Who said that?
Dorothy Parker.
No, Frank Rich.
Oh.
In another delightful Sunday piece entitled, Who Will Stand Up to the Super Rich? Jim!
Yes?
Who said the Americans I'm talking about are not just those shadowy, anonymous corporate campaign contributors who flooded this campaign? No less triumphant were those individuals at the apex of the economic pyramid, the super rich who have gotten spectacularly richer over the last four decades while their fellow citizens either treaded water or lost ground. The top 1% of American earners took in 23.5% of the nation's pre-tax income in 2007, up from less than 9% in 1976. During the boom years of 2002 to 2007, that top 1%'s pre-tax income increased an extraordinary 10% every year. But the boom proved an exclusive affair in that same period. The median income for non-elderly American households went down and the poverty rate rose. Who said that?
Robert Benchley.
Robert Benchley?
Is he
the one that wrote Jaws?
He wrote Jaws? No. Frank Rich.
No. Peter Benchley wrote Jaws.
Yes. Okay.
Who will stand up to the super rich? Okay. Who? But one final. Incredibly, the top 1% of Americans now have tax rates a third lower than the same top percentile had in 1970. The GOP's arguments for extending the Bush tax cuts to this crowd, usually wrapped in laughably hypocritical whining about class warfare, are easily batted down. The most constant refrain is that small business owners who file in this bracket would be hit so hard they can no longer hire new employees. Only 2% of all Americans reporting small business income, regardless of tax bracket, would see tax increases if Obama fulfilled his pledge to let the Bush tax cuts lapse for the top earners. The economist, Dean Baker, calculated that yearly tax increase at the lower end of that bracket for those with earnings between $200,000 and $500,000 would amount to $700, which, quote, isn't enough to hire anybody. Who said that?
George S. Kaufman.
No! Frank Rich in another fabulous piece. Who will stand up to the super rich?
Rich could have been one of the... Well, I'll go for the roundtable.
Frank Rich on the Richie Riches of the world.
Born
We
some
will
decades
talk
earlier.
More about that, and Eric Bowler joins us for Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, heavens, the response we do to our hate letters during the commercial breaks that we can't actually do on air. We'll clean it up for the on air. It's our response to our teabagger hate letter.
Yeah.
She does not appreciate being called a teabagger, and we will
explain why.
Hmm.
All right, this hour brought to you by...
Can we really explain why?
You can't do the thing you did off air. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today, right now. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Jim, we didn't finish. Guess the quote.
Oh.
Those in the higher reaches aren't investing in creating new jobs even now, when the full Bush tax cuts remain in effect, so why would extending them change that equation? American companies seem intent on sitting on trillions in cash until the economy reboots. Meanwhile, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office ranks the extension of any Bush tax cuts, let alone those to the wealthiest Americans, as the least effective of 11 possible policy options for increasing employment. Who said that?
Tallulah Bankhead.
Oh, no, good guess, though. Frank Rich, in another terrific column yesterday, who will stand up to the super rich? One last one. Many of the countless tasks that need to be addressed to start rebuilding an equitable America are formidable, but surely a few, if any, are easier than eliminating a tax break that was destined to expire anyway and that most Americans want to see expire. You know things are grim when you start wishing that the president might summon his inner Linda McMahon. Who said that?
Harpo Marx.
No, Frank Rich.
He was an occasional visitor to the Algonquin Roundtable.
Oh.
And presumably he had a lot more to say than he did in the movies.
Karl Marx?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world. Eric Bollard is here, kids. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Your
piece this week I loved because, you know, you just have to pick, like, one ridiculous story, and if any of them showed up, how ridiculous this, you know, the situation has become in the quote-unquote news business. It was this Obama's trip cost how much? Oh, $200 million a day.
Yeah. $2 billion for the whole jaunt. Right, so if you even think about it for 5 seconds, it makes no sense. I mean, it came out to, like, what, $66,000 per person per day?
Right.
But, you know, this Obama derangement syndrome, you know, the right-wing media is just, it's so consuming that I don't even think people care it's true, you know, if we're talking about Rush Limbaugh and the Fox News and the right-wing bloggers. And even if they can't figure out that it's true, it doesn't matter because all they want to do is sort of wallow in this stuff. And the reason I brought it up, because, you know, it was widely debunked, but, of course, people also believe it.
Right.
There's this notion that, you know, that there's some sort of smell test that, gee, I'm surprised, you know, people were surprised that story got any traction because it didn't really pass any kind of smell test, as, again, $66,000 per person for that trip. But my point is, there is no smell test.
Right.
I mean, and the mainstream press has to recognize that about this right-wing noise machine. They're not you know, they don't get things wrong because they're, you know, they're just going too quickly or they don't fact check things closely enough. They're getting things wrong on purpose. That is the whole point of this echo chamber.
But Eric, you know, you make a good point here. You know, in a larger context, when you look at the results of these midterms, it is a serious thing that you have to take seriously because, you know, you say, for instance, that Sarah Palin's death panel claim passed any kind of smell test. No, but it doesn't mean that, you know, obviously you look at some polling and some of these lies stuck. Some of the voting that was done, unfortunately, was based on complete untruths.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff absolutely takes hold, and it has, and it clearly takes hold in the right-wing world. I mean, people still think 2 million Tea Party marchers showed up in Washington, you know, a year ago when, according to the official count, it was closer to 70,000. But you still hear constant references that 2 million people showed up. So in the right-wing world, that is a fact. That's the sort of the parallel universe fact that is accepted. But like the death panel and other things, it just seeps into the mainstream all the time. We had it with the Michelle Obama trip to Spain this summer.
Oh, God, yeah.
And absolutely there are people who still think that the government spent $2 billion to send Obama to Asia and sent over one-tenth of the U.S. Navy to protect him.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's dive into right-wing world, see what's new. Oh, heavens. Bill, Crystal. Apparently we're entering a magical new age of bipartisanship, Eric.
We're going to have a wonderful moment of blessed bipartisan bliss. We're going to have agreement on extending current tax rates for 3 or 4 years, I think. We're going to have an agreement that we shouldn't have earmarks. There'll be an agreement on some spending cuts. There'll be an agreement on prosecuting the war in Afghanistan. We're going to have the Obama-Boehner-DeMint agenda for the next 3 or 4 months. And it's going to be good for the country, actually. And the one person who's going to be the most fervent opponent to Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi.
Well, he's been wrong about everything else, so...
Yeah, hopefully he's wrong about this.
Being right now.
I mean, it is hard to imagine that he's being honest. I mean, was he being tongue-in-cheek, or did he really think those things were going to happen? I mean, there's no indication that the Republicans have changed their strategy, which is just to say no for the next 2 years and continue to blame Obama. But it's interesting for pundits to suggest that there is going to be some sort of, you know, bipartisan nirvana. There's no indications to suggest that's true. And I think really what Bill Kristol is doing is just setting up for the fall. If those things don't happen, if there isn't bipartisanship, of course, it's only one side's fault.
Yes, it's the poisonous partisan attitude that the president has always had. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Neil Weinberg on the Forbes on Fox show.
Yeah.
You know, we've got two issues here, but the welfare as we know it in this country right now is all the things that we're giving kids in schools. We're giving them breakfast. We're giving them lunch. We're giving them dinner, aftercare, pre-care, all this stuff. That is a nanny state.
What?
Wow! I didn't realize that we've become we're officially a nanny state.
Right, and I mean, yeah. You know, if you just talk about, you know, the folks at Fox, they love to focus on, you know, NPR and you know, and children's lunch and children's breakfast and things like that. What about defense spending? What about things that really cost a huge amount of money, and that nobody will touch? I mean, if you want to talk about nanny state, couldn't you make that argument as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I have to say, by the way, of all of the debt commission stuff that came out, that's the one. Again, you're right. Seems like a no-brainer is cutting defense. What is the statistic I heard, Eric? That we spend more than, I don't know, the next 23 militaries or something combined.
Oh, yeah.
How is that possibly necessary?
And yet you had Sarah Palin and, you know, some of the so-called Tea Party leaders last week coming out saying we can't cut defense. I mean, how long is the press going to portray the Tea Party movement as this cost-cutting movement when they won't cut defense and they want to keep the tax breaks for the super rich? I mean, this is a joke.
Well, you know, Donald Rumsfeld came out and against defense cuts, and when has he ever been wrong about anything? Goodness gracious, cheese and crackers. All right.
My stars and garters. I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Yeah. All right.
That just beat the band.
Eric Bowling of Fox News, who is not Eric Bollert.
That's
even
right.
Close.
No, not close at all.
Eric Bowling.
Remember a couple of months ago when there were a few Democratic senators and congresspeople who said, you know, maybe we should extend the Bush-era tax cuts forward. The market rallied that week 400 points. Now there was some confusion earlier in the week whether or not they would be willing to at least extend the tax cuts temporarily. the market kind of held its own until Mr. Obama went on TV and said, no, I'm not talking about for everyone. I'm just talking about the people I've been talking about all along. Nancy Pelosi backed him up. And guess what happens? The market rolls over down 200 for the week. Not a good performance.
Wow. The president has already tanked the stock market forever.
So Eric Bolling is like a star of the Fox Business Network.
Yep.
Yes.
And this is why the Fox Business Network isn't even rated at this point.
Yes.
Yes.
It's been on the air 3 years. They claim they were going to be rated within 6 months and then 9 months. It's been 3 years, and they're not rated because their audience is so small. Because why would daily investors looking for information turn to someone like Eric Bolling, who's going to tell them the reason the stock market is up or down is because someone mentioned tax cuts? I mean, there's a connection here.
Yeah.
I mean, they push this obviously partisan nonsense.
Yep.
And, oh, by the way, they can't get anyone to watch their business channel.
You know, Eric, that is a really good point. It reminds me of something I think I mentioned. Fareed Zakaria said about the tax cuts last week on TV. He said, this isn't politics, it's math. So you're right. It's almost like the Fox ideology doesn't go with business. That's probably why the channel's not doing well, because people need actual facts and math when they're trying to make business decisions.
Not
right-wing ideology.
Not purposeful misinformation. That's usually, typically, not what investors are looking for on a day-to-day basis.
Yes. How can I get some ideological misinformation on which to base my business decisions? Yeah. All right. Fox Business anchor and Ann Coulter.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Does it bother you that the CEO of GE and the Richard Trumka from Big Labor are on the president's board of economic advisors?
No, what could be better for a socialist president?
All right, Ann.
We really are moving toward the fascist president, the corporate government union.
Okay,
yes.
So he's an extreme liberal and a fascist at the same time.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that, what?
And she's, of course, noted economist Ann Coulter. What?
Of course. And so the premise was there was a problem with the CEO of GE being on this economic council, the largest company on the planet. There's something wrong.
Well, they just have, you know, they have their panties in a wad about MSNBC, which is at this point owned by GE.
Right,
so
right.
That's what that was about.
Yeah, I mean, Obama must hate business if he's turning to the CEO of General Electric to look for business advice. So.
Yeah, exactly. Eric, I don't mean to overpromise, but if you can stick with us, the weirdest sound bites we have ever played for you in Right Wing World, Mike Gallagher and Chris Wallace discussing what it is to be a man when we continue. 17 minutes after the hour, right back with more Right Wing World with Eric Bollert on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Nobody but
Stephanie Miller
and me.
You're the first, you're the last, my everything.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
Disco strings. Boy, I miss those.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar because he just could not wait for these. I don't know if you heard about this, Eric, but so Mike Gallagher, the right-wing radio, has had Chris Wallace on from Fox News.
Uh-huh.
It just became a very weird conversation. And see, here's the dilemma I think they're in, Eric, is that, you know, they've always been the manly party, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And the Democrats, of course, all gay and French. Well, but then now they have all the men that did cry regularly in public.
This conversation was about 6 minutes long, and the entire thing is posted up at MediaMatters.com. So
you
can go see it there. But wow.
Yes, right. Here's what it means to be a man in right-wing world these days. Here we
Why
go.
Why are you lonely in New York? What? I don't understand.
What
I mean, don't you see like those numbers on the tops of cabs and things?
Call
them up. You're a single guy. You got nothing to lose.
Well, what does that mean? So I get in a cab and I'm not lonely anymore? Then I'm driving around New York in a cab.
On the top of the cabs, they have advertisements for like gentlemen's clubs.
You think I could go to a gentleman's club? Are you crazy? I would not walk into one of those sordid.
You're not a man.
I do not darken the door of gentlemen's clubs. I have
what has
some.
Happened to you?
I have standards. I'm a moral man in an immoral society, pal.
Wow. That's what it means to be a man? You have to go to one of those
clubs?
Yeah.
That's why Chris Wallace should stay away from right-wing radio.
Yeah, he really should.
I mean, imagine if, David Gregory or any of these other people. But that's what part of his shtick is, you know, he has to go out. I think he has to be on these right-wing radio shows in order to promote his Sunday show. And then he ends up talking about gentlemen's clubs.
Yeah. Let's review. You can blubber in public about the jobs you had to have growing up, but you're not a man unless you go to strip clubs.
There you go.
All right, Mike Gallagher and Chris Wallace again.
They've been mocking John Boehner because he teared up the other night or whatever, he cries.
Yes.
I cry at the drop of a hat. I see a Hallmark commercial, I'm on the floor, pal. I don't mind admitting it. I'm an emotional guy. I don't think you have any emotion. I think you're kind of
I'm a man.
You're void of emotion.
I'm a man.
No, you're not a man. You're just an you're
I'm
one
a man.
Of
man. I don't sit there with. First of all, I don't watch the Betty Broderick story on Lifetime, and I don't cry the 400th time I've seen it.
Oh, my God.
I'm a man. Yes,
wow.
I am. And I
hear the Lumberjack song in the back of my mind. Wow.
Chris Wallace is very adamant about one thing.
What's that?
He's a man.
That's right.
Derek Waller for Media Matters. See you next week.
There it's mediamatters.org, not .com. So.
.org, yes. Yes.
No bee.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. Sleeps all night and he works all day.
All right. Chris.
But I thought you were so rugged.
Chris in New York. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Listen, I'll probably give you a nosebleed with all these figures, but the defense budget actually is closer to $800 or $900 billion a year because a lot of military expenditures aren't included in the defense budget.
Right.
And in 2008, the United States accounted for 68% of the military contracts in the world. The next closest country was Italy at 6%. So it is our made in America industry.
Yep.
And China spends $100 billion a year on their defense for 1.5 billion people, while we are spending that $800 to $900 billion on 350 million people.
Mm.
So that's a place we can definitely cut a lot of things.
Yeah, I'll say. All right.
There's black ops, which aren't on the books at all.
Yeah. As I mentioned, though, Donald Rumsfeld, the breaking news, is against the defense cuts. And again, with his stellar record of being right about everything, why wouldn't we?
My stars and guardians. Mm-hmm. My goodness gracious.
He Twittered about it. I'm sure he's a Twitter fiend.
Just like you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He made his recommendation. Why do these people think they ran the most disastrous presidency in our history, in my opinion? Why do they think we care what they think? He made his recommendations for deficit reduction through his Twitter account. He tweeted, tough fiscal choices ahead. Reforming entitlements should top the list. Cutting defense spending, the defense budget should not.
No, of course not.
No.
Because the Soviet Union might invade us any day.
Yes, in New York. Yeah, he's a little behind the times with his old man catchphrases and his old man drinks.
Golly gee willikers. What do we do if the Soviets invade?
The Ruskies are coming in. I better get another rusty nail. Has he ever had... I don't think he ever has had a drink without bitters in it. Do you think?
No. You can tell by the look on his face.
In a New York Times CBS News poll conducted just days before last week's election, a plurality of voters said their top priority for cuts in government spending was national security. Cuts in Social Security, Medicare ranked second to last in popularity. Cuts to education spending were the least popular. Additionally, Rumsfeld placing himself in opposition to a growing movement of both Tea Party-backed conservatives and progressives who are coming together to call for cuts in the defense budget.
Hmm.
So, once again, he's a little behind the times, a little...
He's always got a look on his face like he has a really nasty hemorrhoid or something.
I'm sure that's because he has a really nasty hemorrhoid.
That's from all that... That's what that squint is
all
about.
I haven't had my glasses prescription updated since 1958. I think it has something to do with it. I'm like Mr. Magoo over here.
That's why he doesn't have a clear vision for the future.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you've done it again.
Ooh, good Jim Backus.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
corner, weighing in at 130 pounds, it's the ovarian barbarian and the breast of all time. Let's put our hands together for
Stephanie Miller.
It is the
ovarian barbarian.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's my handle.
Uh-huh.
Back in the wrestling days.
Yeah.
Before the dancing days at the Itchy Kitty.
I'm sure that was your nickname there, too.
Rosita. Uh-huh. 34 minutes.
Linda McMahon involved.
Mm. Hey!
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joe in Long Beach on Rumsfeld. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, Steph. Now, this is the guy that told the combat troop that asked about body armor, that you go to war with the military that you have,
yes,
not the one that you want.
Right.
So interesting that he's kind of changed his tact.
Now, Steph, well, there are different knowns and unknowns, known nobles
and
now.
Unknowns and knowns that we know about.
What he knows that they may not know, and make sure he knows what they know that he may not know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now he knows different stuff, which was then unknown previously, as you know. Okay.
He's the man who's supposed to know everything.
Yeah, well, he doesn't. Oh, all right. Breaking news on the tiny baby wolf candidate in Alaska. Who is still a loser.
You know, babies could grow beards like that. Call Ripley.
Just, he has an inordinate amount of testosterone.
I was listening to a right-wing radio station this weekend. They were like, dude, give it up.
All right. Take care now.
What?
What are you doing listening to right-wing stations?
I just, by accident.
Loser.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. I don't even have a dog or a wolf in this fight, and it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, literally, he's challenging ballots that say Murkowski. It's like, oh, well.
It's spelled O-W, not A-U.
Ha!
Clearly,
gotcha.
The intent there was Joe Miller,
yeah.
Just because they forgot to say Lisa Murkowski. So, yeah.
There's an M in it. Mm-hmm. See? Could
what
be anybody.
Tiny, screamy baby wolf candidate.
We just need to wait until the next full moon, then he'll reveal his real self. It'll be all over. Yeah, exactly.
Someone needs to put a silver bullet in this campaign. This is by now.
Is there a Palin to shoot him from a helicopter? You bet you also, too, in addition.
Yeah, that's a good use of money. She's taking her Sarah Palin's Alaska money and giving it to Joe Miller's loser recount. Yeah, just because she has a grudge against Lisa Murkowski. Joe Miller, who he filed a lawsuit, as you know, to disenfranchise write-in candidate Lisa Murkowski's voters. Miller's lawsuit was originally assigned to one of his former supervisors, a federal judge with a very low opinion of Joe Miller, who took himself off the case because of his negative opinion that he held of Miller.
Huh.
Judge Sedgwick, only the most recent in a long string of Miller's former supervisors who were turned off by his poor conduct in the workplace, which may explain why he is a
loser.
All
right. Loser. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Loser. Okay. All right. Martin in Corona, California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Martin.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, listen, I just wasn't sure if you knew, but with those Westboro Baptist Church morons, we're going to protest the Laramie Project in Santa Ana on Saturday night.
Ah.
And about 200 kids from Cal State Fullerton were there counter-protesting. The douche nozzles drove by a couple times but didn't stop. So that kind of made my heart happy.
Yeah. I think they may be past their prime over there at the Westboro.
I think so, too.
Church. Okay, Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi. Go ahead.
Yeah. Since it's the lame duck session right now, I think most people, could call Congress and the president and let them know how they feel about, especially things like the tax cuts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, well, absolutely.
Now's the time to push back. I mean, not negotiate with Republicans, not during the lame duck session.
All you need to know is if John McCain is for it, it's wrong. Seriously. He's just wrong about everything, John McCain.
I think they should be extended until we're out of this recession. At such time, then we could look at other tax hikes. But when we're in a serious recession, I cannot believe that raising taxes is a good thing on anybody.
It's not raising taxes.
It's letting previous tax cuts expire on schedule.
The way they were supposed to, when you voted for them.
Yes.
Because the people that were, well, we're getting tax cuts will provide jobs. Just like they did over all 8 years of the Bush... Oh, wait.
By the way,
my argument just fell apart.
And the Bush tax cuts partially responsible for this recession. What do you mean when we get out of this recession? This is partially how we got into this economy and this deficit and this...
Are you okay? You need Heimlich?
By the way, what's happening with his face? Is he becoming more... He looks more and more like a Rock'em Sock'em robot every time I see him. He just... I don't know whether it's the anger that, you know, clenched jaw kind of... But he just...
He's
face,
always looked that way.
His face is just completely square and...
Well, he did have a chunk taken out of it because of
his
skin cancer.
Well, I know, but I'm not talking about that. It's just he always seems like he's just spitting his words out. He's so angry.
His jaw muscles are very well developed from grimacing.
Yes, that's what it seems like.
Grinding his teeth together for decades.
From saying, from repeating, that's not the policy.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
I still think he's very angry at his wife.
I think so, too. I think there's a little tension there.
A little tension? And maybe at his daughter, too, because she gills off the reservation quite a bit, too. Just saying.
It's a little tense at Thanksgiving this year. Steve in Los Angeles. Hello, Steve.
Hey.
I was wondering
if you all watched that Sarah Palin TV show last night.
I don't think that I can bear it.
Well, I needed you because I saw the first 5 minutes, and I needed that throw-up sound effect you do. It was the perfect moment for
that. Did it make you splash?
That's the one. Oh, that's exactly the one.
I mean, seriously, they're just letting her, they're paying her to put on a campaign ad, basically.
And she did. She talked about politics.
Yeah, I was reading some of the reviews. I love the, that every Alaskan should climb Mount McKinley, except, you know, there's no explanation as to why she hasn't done it before
right.
The cameras were rolling.
And she said that a guy moved in next door and we built a fence just like we should along our borders.
Oh, yes, I heard about that, yes. I love that they make it sound like that's her, every day she basically goes bear hunting and mountain climbing and I don't know what else.
Hanging out and making cookies.
And quitting jobs.
Making cupcakes with the
yes. Cupcakes with the kids. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Next week.
All right. You know what? I may have to do a YouTube-y or something. I suppose I have.
Really?
I just can't. I don't want to deliberately expose myself to her.
But by sitting in front of YouTube and actively searching for Sarah Palin's Alaska, you're going to deliberately expose yourself to her. You're going to expose yourself? What?
Educational purposes. Okay. Al in Albert Lea, Albert Lea, Minnesota. Hello, Al. Al?
No, you... and you,
oh, I did the wrong thing.
Yeah, you did the wrong thing.
Hi, Al. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Great. Stay in Minnesota here. We have Polaris Industries. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. They make, snowmobiles and watercraft and four-wheelers.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO makes millions a year. They have a bunch of different factories. One in Wisconsin is making the news right now. Last year, Polaris made over $400 million profit. They're dumping a factory in Wisconsin. It has over 250 employees, and they're building one down in Mexico. So tell me where these tax cuts for the wealthy is going to create jobs.
Well, Al, we were just talking about this earlier, Frank Rich's column, and I've mentioned this even before the election, is what these companies are making a fortune. Why are they sitting on all this money? It's like they're saying, oh, we're until the economy gets better. Well, the economy's not going to get better till you start hiring.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and then the tax cuts for those millionaires, this guy is making, his name's Rich Hunt or something like that. He's had the tax cut for 10 years. What's he doing with his? He's taking 250 jobs from Wisconsin and moving them to Mexico.
Well, that's exactly ridiculous. These companies already have so many breaks, and you're right, they use them to outsource our jobs, not to... Yeah, exactly. Okay. Meanwhile, according to Jim DeMint, they need more tax cuts.
Well, if that's all we could get out of the president, and he is the president, so we'll work with him on that.
Who the hell can tell what's happening now? If people are saying that they're signaling they would do a temporary extension.
Yes.
Temporary meaning till the end of the earth.
Well, no, temporary until 2012 when they think that they're going to be getting the House and Senate back.
Mm-hmm.
The boner on this yesterday.
I think extending all of the current tax rates and making them permanent will reduce the uncertainty in America.
Yes, just the way it has.
Reduce the uncertainty.
Well, so far.
Just how many millionaires will benefit from this?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're not quite certain yet.
John in Tucson on McCain. Hello, John.
Yeah, Stephanie.
Yes.
When McCain, when Bush initially, threw out the tax cuts 10 years ago, McCain didn't even vote for them.
Oh, that's
so
right.
He
yeah,
is
yeah.
A big hypocrite. on this one.
On this one? How about on every issue?
You know? Yeah. He's the biggest one on the planet, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you?
Being a hypocrite's not the policy. It's not the policy.
Don, did you, or Jim, did you see him on Meet the Press? I'm like, are you kidding me? Now he's already preemptively putting out there, I don't really think the study was done right anyway. But don't ask, don't tell. Even
clearly
if it comes
study was done
because
right.
That's already been leaked that, you know, the study says, what is it, 70% of military has no problem with overturning. Don't ask.
They asked the wrong
70%. They didn't ask it. They didn't ask the questions right.
He needs to understand it's a generational thing. Even his daughter says
damn
that.
It.
Yeah. His
off
that
my problem. Lawn.
It's yeah. He's too old to be deciding on things like
homo
this.
Lovers, get
seriously.
Off my lawn.
Tim and Madison.
Bad enough they put Negroes in there. Oh, I got to deal with this. Oh, it's not the policy.
Tim and Madison,
he's
you're
still
on.
Dealing with that.
Yeah.
1951. Hi, Tim.
Morning. I need another Jim CD. We need another one very quickly.
We need hopefully he'll do another George W. Bush, It's a Blunderful Life, in time for the holidays.
Yes. I hope so.
Yes.
I actually kind of enjoyed watching Sarah Palin last night on her TV show, just because I felt so much more intelligent.
No, I guess that would be the upside of exposing yourself. Yeah.
I mean, just watching her, I'm like, this is a gate, not just to protect Tripp, but to make sure no boys go up there. It's just like, oh, what, now you're paying attention?
Oh, apparently there's a precious family moment when she's teaching her, I don't know, child how to shoot a defenseless creature. And
yeah.
You know, and then she does her little thing, Jim, her, you don't reload. What is her thing?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
You don't retreat, you reload, Piper.
It was just a great show. You know, just because every American who watches that either feels more intelligent or is right where they belong. And you're right. It's basically a 6-episode campaign ad.
Yeah, exactly.
About how average American she is and everything like that. You know, yes, every average American has a house that large.
Yes, she's all plucky and frontiersy and what all.
Yeah.
I would watch that if they cut Sarah Palin out of it completely.
Yeah, because Alaska's beautiful.
Yeah. If they could just get rid of her.
Apparently, you get a little peek at her home studio there, over there where she just walks in to do her lies on the Fox News, and Tad runs the cameras.
How can she afford a home studio when she doesn't have a job?
Todd has a job.
Todd works cheap. All right. 46 minutes. Okay. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Just moments from Mondays with McClurg. Edie McClurg live in studio in just a few minutes. Jeff writes, Steph, regarding Don't Ask, Don't Tell, we need to study the study, then establish a commission to explore the possibility of whether the study fits into the parameters of the guidelines established by whether the study fits into the criteria that the commission has established.
Doesn't that always happen in a democracy?
It's basically John McCain's position.
It's not the criterion for the what she said. All that stuff.
What?
Don't look at me in the shower. That's all I ask.
Clark, and you know, I think that's the most important thing we can take from all this is no one would want to John McCain in the shower. Okay, Clark in Jacksonville writes, Steph, on Sarah Palin's show, she was trying to climb the mountain and got stuck halfway up and said, I can't quit halfway in front of all these people. She didn't even notice the irony.
Did
wow.
she really say that?
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
No self-awareness at all.
No, irony deficient.
Also, too, you betcha.
In addition. Barbara in Ann Arbor, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello?
Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, I'm losing so much faith in Obama. It's like everything he proposes to do, he turns around and says to the Republicans, is that okay with you? You know, and then if they say no, well, then we don't do it. They're talking about senior citizens You're going to have to bite the bullet. You're going to have to plan ahead for your retirement and save. Yeah, like they did. You know, for a whole generation, there were more baby boomers paying in than people drawing out. Now that there's more baby boomers drawing out, oh, well, we blew all the money. You know, but
right, you're talking about the age, you know, them proposing it going up and up for when you can retire, right?
Yeah, 69, they're talking about making people retire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing there saying, you know, this pep talk, you're going to have to bite the bullet. We're going to have to make some sacrifices, but not the billionaires and millionaires. So, you know, be sure to safeguard their trillions and trillions of tax breaks.
Yeah, no, Barbara, I hear you on that. The tax cuts, it just infuriates me on every level. Here, the other thing, the president... He returned from Asia, and he said, in that obsessive focus on policy, I neglected some things that matter a lot to people, and rightly so, like maintaining a bipartisan tone in Washington. Well, that would take two parties to maintain a bipartisan tone. I mean, come on.
Yep.
Even somebody fair on the other side listening, do you really think the Republicans ever reached back on anything? I mean, come on. The president really did start with a bipartisan tone, didn't he? I mean, you think of my... Crazy? Do I not remember that he reached out on every issue?
He started even during the campaign. He was being bipartisan.
Yeah.
You know, lauding Reagan as one of the most successful presidents.
Jeff in St. Louis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, thanks, Stephanie. Great show. You know, I wanted
Thank
to
you.
Just harken back to what Eric Fuller was talking about. I mean, it's really alarming right now that the right-wingers, they just, you know, they say things. And they're, you know, objectively false, and there's never a walk back. I mean, it's just throwing stuff on the wall right now, and that's who you're dealing with when you're Obama, and yet he's wanting bipartisanship. I mean, it's terrible. You know, we live in this day and age where, you know, our students, like, for instance, in college, they're learning classic macroeconomics, and, you know, the things the Republicans are proposing are they're inverse of that. They're like voodoo.
Right.
And it's incredible that half of our country believes it.
Yep, I know. I mean, I keep repeating it, Jeff, just because it hit home to me so much. But Fareed Vakaria saying about the tax cuts, this is not politics. It's math.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just if we can't argue, you know, or agree on a basic set of facts.
Math is hard.
Yes.
And it's got a liberal bias.
Hmm. David Axelrod was on the Meet the Press yesterday talking about...
Sometime in the spring, late winter, early spring, I'll be going back, coming back here to Chicago and beginning to work on that project.
Re-election is what he's talking about. By the way, the other breaking news politically, Nancy Pelosi appeared to secure the top Democratic leadership spot for next year as the only lawmaker that was expected to mount a challenge, acknowledged he would not have the support to topple it. Oh, that was Heath Shuler. He had said this.
And if it comes down to this coming week and she doesn't step aside, then I will challenge her.
Yes.
Yeah,
no.
Nice, yeah. Bad blue dog. Bad blue dog.
He said,
On the paper.
You know, I can add and subtract pretty well. I don't have the numbers to be able to win, he finally said yesterday. In my opinion, the conservative Dems are a big part of the problem when we got here in the first place. So she created a new leadership position for Jim Clyburn because, let's see what happens. Clyburn is the whip right now, but that's Steny Hoyer will be.
Yeah.
Going to whip. Asked on CNN whether House Democrats might be poorly served by maintaining the same leadership team after a November election that Obama called a shellac, and Clyburn harkened back to 2006 and 2008. He said this is the team that brought us out of the wilderness. I mean, that's true. You know, this is politics. This is what it is cyclical, and this always happens in midterms. I mean, you know, they also, you can't give them the blame this cycle without giving them the credit for, you know, and things could turn again.
Seems like she created a T-ball trophy for Jim Clyburn, though. I'm just saying. What?
Well, everyone's that's because she's racist, according to Rush Limbaugh.
Well.
Yes.
She's especially racist against Italians.
Billy in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show to defend the rich once more. Hello, Billy.
Hi, Stephanie. Listen, I hear you again talking about tax cuts for the rich, and that is the most fallacious argument.
It is.
Oh, really?
People on the left are using right. Absolutely, it is. The rich pay the vast majority of cash into the system they have for a long time. If you want to fix
No, not proportionally.
No.
How is it fair if a hedge fund manager, I think Frank Rich said this week, he pays proportionally less in taxes than his secretary pays? How is that fair?
They throw out these hypotheticals and they don't
it's
make
not
you
hypothetical.
That's not hypothetical.
If you really want to make it, fix it.
The rich are paying far less now than they were in, say, 1970 or whenever you want to compare it to.
The rich have access to way more loopholes than the middle class does.
The point is that the progressive tax system is a fraud. The only fair way to do it is put everybody on a flat tax. And if I no matter what I make, say 15%, and that would be plenty. And marry that to an amendment, a constitutional amendment, saying that we have to have a balanced budget. And if we can't get by with 15 or 20% of the gross national income, then shame on us.
But well, that will kill charitable giving.
Yeah, and
and the housing market.
There are people who can't afford to pay that much in taxes because they have no money.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. It's Monday. And that
sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Yes.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning to you.
I get more unsolicited testimonials to the Mondays with McClurg than you.
Oh, people love, so pleased.
They love you as much as SodaStream, which I also got a unsolicited testimonial to.
Oh,
see how
God,
I did that.
Segue.
Ty writes, Steph, I was listening to your show. You did an ad for SodaStream. I thought it sounded like a great idea. As a middle-aged man living on the second floor, I hate carrying all those heavy soda cases upstairs. I also feel better about not having to recycle all those cans and bottles, and the taste is great, too. Love making it myself. SodaStream. It's fun. It's like a bubbly carbonated version of the Edie McClurg.
That was a stretch, but thank you.
No.
Tying in a sponsor with a...
Well, every week we find out some new fun fact about your long and storied acting career. Have you, for instance, have you ever been on Heart to Heart? I'm just asking because I got another letter.
No, I was never on Heart to Heart, but I think things maybe of that era, so, in somebody's memory bank, it kind of slopped
Boat?
Over.
Love Boat?
Were you on
no,
Love Boat?
No, Love Boat.
Things of that era and of this nature and things of this nature and those kinds of things.
I loved Heart to Heart.
It was lovely.
Anyway, but yes, Brian writes, OMG, Steph, I'm watching it, but I don't know, I have no idea why he was watching Heart to Heart this weekend, but I was focusing my attention on Stephanie Powers. Oh, loved her. She was so whispery, wasn't she?
Yeah. Jonathan.
She just used to, like, stand there while he was getting the kicked out of him by some bad guy. Jonathan!
Oh, help me!
And he had that weird...
Jennifer, help me! Please come and help!
Oh, now, I did run into this weekend Howard Hessman of WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, I'd love to stay okay.
Yes.
Wow. I've got to go wait for the limo.
And Carl Gottlieb, who wrote Jaws and another huge film, many.
Okay.
Anyway, they were both in the committee in San Francisco.
Oh,
the very beginnings right. of, improv comedy.
Comedy, yeah.
And that's where I met them.
Okay.
And we were at the Myeloma Foundation fundraiser dinner. Peter Boyle was also in the committee with them, and he died of the myeloma. And Ray Romano set up this
yearly
comedy show. And Dana Carvey, what I'm leading to is Dana Carvey has the best Obama and every other political guy you can think of now in his act, and it is so funny.
Oh, good.
He is right on. His impressions are right on, and his political...
I'm going to steal it from him.
Now you go good, Jim.
We'll have to have him on and have him duel Jim Ward, who, in my opinion, is the voice deity in the country. I guess my whole point, what I was trying to magically come full circle to, have you ever worked with or dated Max from Heart to Heart? Because I was obsessed with him. Mr. H.
He was Max, one of the greatest old-timey
character actors. I know.
Right. He had eyebrows that had a life of their own.
All right. Anyway, but the point of this, and I've heard of this before, it's a 1 degree of
Stephanie Miller
separation, yes, from heart to heart. Well, Stephanie Powers, Stephanie Miller. Mm. Let's see. This episode that Brian is watching, let's see. He's trying to figure out which of the two guys is a Russian spy. He asked them both who played left field for the Dodgers. Both answered Dusty Baker. Who played right field for the Yankees? Both answered Reggie Jackson. Third question, who ran with Goldwater in 64? Ding, 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 ding. William Miller. And I think that's how they know, because no real American would know that. That's how they figure out who the spy is.
He'd been prepped.
Yeah, because you have over-prepared if you knew that my dad was Barry Goldwater.
They shot an episode at the UCLA Theater Department. So I met Stephanie Powers. She was very nice.
Wow.
Very lovely.
Wow. Was she whispery in person?
Yes.
Did she have a crush
on
you?
Hello, it's nice to meet you. Yeah. Oh, I got to change my pants.
Oh.
Ick.
All right. Scott in Ithaca writes, Steph, I thought this is another one of our obsessions. Barbara Hershey in The Entity, where she is raped by a sound effect. You know that. You know that.
Yeah.
Oh, this one. Okay. Steph, I thought this might interest you. And the next time you have Margaret Cho on the show, she was on last week's Celebrity Ghost Stories and apparently had quite an experience. She even had a ghost get into bed with her. Like that movie you talk so frequently of, like Barbara Hershey, the something, I can't remember. Entity!
Succubus.
Scott. And Margaret decided to stay in bed with it all night. Well, we support every lifestyle choice here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. Margaret and a ghost in her bed.
Yes. Male, female, living, dead. Makes no difference.
Whatever
can we
floats
get your boat? Can we get Margaret Cho on the show, please, to talk about whether she's a ghost or not, like Barbara Hershey? Because that is just some
and
Stephanie Miller magic.
And she didn't bring it up when she was here.
No, you'd think she would have mentioned it.
I guess.
Think she would have been like, all right, whatever, you're gay.
I know, I didn't say any word at that point when I went, oh, yeah, yeah.
Edie, I'm glad you're here for moral support, because we have a hate letter from a teabagger.
Ooh,
can I have my hate letter music, please? Yes, Jean is very... Chris, she sent this to you?
Yes.
She thinks somehow you're in charge of all this.
Hey, yeah.
She actually thinks it's your radio station.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that you own the station, sure. And that you should really do better than this.
Yeah, why aren't you doing better than this?
I'm trying.
What kind of crap do you put on your radio station?
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm. Yeah, he turns the volume up and he turns the volume down.
Here's how I always know it's not going to be a good letter, when it just starts, hello.
Not just dear Stephanie? Or
No just, salutation of any kind. Mm. Just sort of a warning shot that she's about to begin.
No hello, dirtbag, anything like
that? No, nothing, just okay. Hello.
Not a grunt?
No.
Okay.
I rarely listen to the radio, but a friend of mine... told
a
me about
a friend of mine. Oh, the ubiquitous friend of mine.
Never ends well for us. And I decided to... a friend of mine told me about Progressive Radio, and I decided to tune in. Yeah, you don't want to go right to the,
Stephanie Miller.
You need a gateway, something to
ease you
in.
A little middle of
the
road.
Yeah, like a Tom Hartman.
Station.
Something to ease you in so you don't...
He sounds avuncular and and nice.
Bill Press, something. A mellower, a little mellower drug. Okay, my first thought was, my God, do they ever sit back and actually listen to what they're allowing to be broadcast from their radio station? Well, no, I don't listen because I'm talking. Okay.
You have an inside track on knowing what you're saying.
Oh, this was kind of nice. How can someone this beautiful be that stupid?
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Don't they go together?
She thinks beautiful and yet stupid. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful and stupid, Jean. Okay, I don't think I've ever heard such silliness, goofiness, ignorance, and most of all, nastiness.
Us?
Yes.
Silly, goofy nastiness.
Glenn Beck playing with his poop? Actually, I was quoting Bill Maher. That wasn't me.
Right.
John Boehner being called John Boner? And those of us who are members of tea parties are being called tea baggers?
Yeah.
They called themselves that
they
found out what it meant.
Yeah.
Well... Jim, she says, I am a mother of two.
Oh, boy.
Married to a physician, I am a nurse. I do not allow a man to sit on my while I his...
What?
Well, now I've got to put the pieces together, you know? A little early in the morning for that.
What could she have meant?
I am not a teabagger. Whatever happened to class, decency, and professionalism? Well, you're coming to the wrong show, first of all, for that.
Hello?
It appears that all Stephanie is capable of doing is insulting, calling people names, and being ridiculous. She has the perfect forum in which to educate her listeners. I've never heard her support the president's policies, defend Nancy Pelosi, or the 111th Congress as a whole. That's how can I be the apologist that I'm frequently called? Apparently she's never heard any of that. With facts, that is, I truly believe she does not have the knowledge base or the intelligence to do so and or carry on a debate. In all honesty, she comes across as a dumb broad. You really should consider what you allow to go over the airwaves of your radio station,
all right.
Chris.
Yes.
Okay, then.
Is this your radio station?
You should.
Yes.
All right, then.
All people have to do is listen to programs like yours, and they will know why conservative radio TV is listened to by a larger percentage than progressive.
That's not why.
Yes. Well... All right, let's just not go into all that. And all right.
We may be small, but we are mighty.
We are here.
Conservative
we are here.
Radio is bankrolled by big business.
Yes.
They like hearing propaganda that benefits them.
You truly are kind of sad. Oh. Jean, who is a mother of two, who does not
T-back.
Allow a man to sit on her...
And put his...
Testicles.
While she...
What?
His...
Testicles. You can say it.
Oh, I guess I don't need to bleep at all.
No.
I am a mother of two. I do not allow a man to sit on my... while I... his testicles.
Hmm.
I am a mother! Barum!
She never worked at a bowling alley, apparently.
You know, there's no license for being a mother.
Oh.
Everybody has a shot at it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You need a, you know, permit to get a gun, but any moron can...
Yes, procreate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, a lot of talk about what it means to be a man these days, isn't there? Between this weird conversation we played earlier, apparently, Edie, Chris Wallace thinks you need to go to strip clubs to be a man and not, I don't know, cry? What?
Why are you lonely in New York? What? I don't understand.
What are you...
I mean, don't you see, like, those numbers on the tops of cabs and things? Call them up. You're a single guy. You got nothing to lose.
What does that mean? So I get in a cab and I'm not lonely anymore? Then I'm driving around New York in a cab.
On the top of the cabs, they have advertisements for, like, gentlemen's clubs.
You think I could go to a gentleman's club? Are you crazy? I would not walk into one of those sordid...
You're not a man.
I'm a...
You're not a man. You are not a real man.
What is he... why is he noticing all these ads on top of cabs?
Probably,
I've never noticed
Probably
those
because
ads.
He's a perv.
Mm.
Here's a story about what it takes to be a man. Shot twice, Connecticut man eats sandwich before going to the hospital. Now that's a man. John Boner blubbers about having to have jobs
that's
when he was growing up.
That's a lie.
He was feeling a little peckish.
Shot twice near the groin, New Haven resident Miguel Soto.
Now what location is that?
What?
Is it
once
near
could
Maine
be an accident,
third?
But twice someone's trying
yeah,
to make a
they're,
point.
They're trying,
there.
Yes. Yeah. He had a choice. Eat the sandwich he just bought or rush to the emergency room. He headed home, sat down in the kitchen, polished off the hero before asking his dad for a ride to the hospital where he's treated and released.
I hope his brain was treated as well.
When you can get in the, you know what I'm saying,
man,
and eat a sandwich
you're
first,
hungry.
You're a man, my son.
You're really, really
I'm
hungry.
Jack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day. I eat my sandwich while I'm shot in the groin.
I have a bullet in my... But I am eating this sandwich.
Damn it. I paid for it. I'm damn well going to eat it.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with another manly stack. Edie, and this one is from the WTF is wrong with Kentucky stack.
What?
Aside the fact that they just elected Rand Paul. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, in the midst of the delightful Mondays with McClurg, now on Ustream at stephaniemiller.com.
Yeah.
And someone just noticed, because, you know, a new weird fun fact comes out about Ian McClurg every time she's here. And in this case, someone said, oh, she's that's the actress from that Robot Girl show.
Yeah. What? Small Wonder.
Small Wonder, which aired in what year?
Oh, and it was it was antediluvian, I believe.
I believe it was the late 80s, because I remember watching it in college.
It was a sitcom about a small robot girl.
Yes, yeah. There was a clever man who created a robot at his tech corp thing.
Yes.
And she lived in the house in a closet.
Yep.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then the fun ensues.
Did she have to come out as a robot? People did not realize she was a robot? Is that...
Well, I mean, she talked like a robot, so you kind of had to know that she was a robot.
She had to talk like this.
And you said it was the worst show ever?
But...
Okay, it was among the running.
But you know what? People remember it to this day. There are a lot of shows that have gone by the wayside that nobody ever remembers, but this show was so... bad that,
yes.
That
well,
people
it
remember
memorable.
It now. Yeah.
What did you play
little
on?
Kids
who did you play
on? Bonnie Brindle.
Bonnie Brindle, who
next
had...
Next-door neighbor?
Next-door neighbor to the robot girl.
Yes.
Okay.
She played a lot of next-door neighbors in that era.
Yeah. That was my job. Yeah. I was the next-door neighbor.
Okay.
She was Mrs. Poole on Valerie.
And the problem is I keep going into my neighbor's house thinking it's, I'm still on a
through
show.
Through the kitchen door.
I'm sorry.
And the ladies next door, they don't
robot
care
girl?
For that.
Oh, no, Edie, that was your series from the 80s.
Oh.
No.
Sometimes I wake up too early.
Oh, boy. Next you know, you're going to be waking up in Robot Girl's bed like a Robert Downey Jr.
Vicky.
Thing. And,
Vicky
oh,
was the robot's name.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. All right. That's almost as magical story as a D-listed story about the time a pod of porpoises saved Dick Van Dyke's life.
What?
What?
What? In for real life?
Yes. This is I had not heard this story.
Ever.
D-listed writing Dick Van Dyke, PC version, Penis Van Lesbian. Yeah, that's true. That's probably the
okay.
more PC version.
Oh. Of his name, yes.
Mm-hmm. Was surfing out in the ocean one day when he decided it was the perfect time to take a nap. Yes, in the oceans. Good, yes. He said, I woke up out of sight of land. I started paddling with the swells, and I started seeing fins swimming around me. I thought, I'm dead. They turned out to be porpoises, and they pushed me all the way to shore.
Wow.
That is a magical Dick Van Dyke story.
That is. That was an otherworldly savior of life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I worked with Dick Van Dyke on, there's my weird story, Chris. I played myself on Diagnosis Murder.
What?
Yes, I think I killed the Dr. Laura character allegedly
mm-hmm.
for a better time slot for my radio show or something like this.
Yeah, that was his diagnosis anyway.
I don't think he was correct on that, but I got an opportunity to sit on the set with Dick Van Dyke and pester him endlessly.
Yeah.
About what it was like to work on the Dick Van Dyke show and with my Mary Tyler Moore impression, and he couldn't have been more delighted.
And he fully admits that his English accent in Mary Poppins was awful. He fully admits that.
It's good to own up to your past.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you for bringing up Small Wonder.
Ray in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ray. Hello, Ray.
Hey.
Go ahead.
I want to try to be as polite as I can about this and actually have a reasonable discussion. On your show, you keep bringing up these tax cuts. That, the rich should be taxed more. And
Not taxed more, just fairly. Just proportionally.
Fairly. Let's take everybody that makes less than $50,000 a year and tax them at the same percentage that we tax everybody that makes more than $250,000 a year and see how fair they think that is. Why penalize me if I'm willing to work two or even three jobs because I'm a driven and motivated person and wants to make more money?
How are you being penalized when you're paying 40% less than you paid in, I don't know, let's pick 1970, I'd say.
Okay, but how much less are those people paying that make less than $50,000? With all the...
That's where the real money is. But taxing the bejesus out of people.
Rich people also get a hell of a lot more loopholes than the average middle class person.
Yes. I would have argued more. We ran out of time. Mm-hmm. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
¶¶ Stephanie Miller.
Honestly, I don't know what came over me last night. It was just one of those crazy things that sort of happened after a few drinks.
I don't even remember specifically what I'm talking about. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Mondays with McClurg continues apace. We've learned yet another fun fact about Edie McClurg's storied acting career during the commercial break.
Yep, she was on The Golden Girls.
And you ran over Betty White's foot with an electric and a motorized wheelchair?
Actually, Estelle Getty was in the wheelchair that I was rolling around, uh-huh. and they needed to move the coffee table so that I wouldn't run into the other three ladies on
yes.
the couch.
Yes.
And they forgot to move the, you know, the piece yes. of furniture.
Yes.
And I thought, well, maybe I can fit it through there and not have to stop the taping.
Yes.
And so I rolled forward and ran over Betty White's foot.
Oh.
Yeah. Nearly maimed the star.
She is a beloved institution in this country, Edie McClurg.
And
why?
She forgave me.
Why you hate America so much?
She is an institution, I'll tell you. Mm. She's wonderful.
Really. Thank you for that story. Your friend Chris Pena, actor extraordinaire, on the phone. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Hey. You want to just talk to Edie.
Hey, Edie. It's Chris.
Hi, honey.
Hi, I wanted to congratulate you on your Best Supporting Actress Award last night at MockFest. Yes, it was a mockumentary film festival that happened over the weekend, and one of the films I was in, I co-starred with Rick Overton, who won Best Actor last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, no way! Friend of the Stephanie Miller Show. And Stephanie
Jim
Miller.
Came the other night. Jim, I don't know if Jim's there right now, but he saw the film. And I got to see your film, Edie. It was so wonderful. You're so wonderful in it. It was a really great. Why weren't you there?
I had another charity event to go to.
Because she gives and gives and gives, Chris, until it hurts. You know how she
well,
is.
Well, I thought it was just going to be our film shown, and then they were going to, you know, give out the awards. And then there were two more films to go, and I said, I've got to go, and I had to leave.
Aw. All right. Well, thank you, Chris.
So I'm glad I won. Very good.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Aw. Because you do. You give. You're a giver. You're a helper.
I fill up my weekend because I have no life.
But you're the award-winning Edie McClurg
yes,
now.
I am now the award-winning Edie McClurg.
Hey,
I'm
more importantly,
it.
It's the award-winning Mondays with McClurg. Oh, I think I'll just... I will
take that.
Yes. I will stand in her reflected
Splice
glory.
Us together.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, I promised a... this is a... WTF is wrong with Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the fact that they elected Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell. Clearly something is wrong. A central Kentucky man said he was forced to eat his beard after an argument about a lawnmower got out of control. Yeah, you know that's how an argument about a lawnmower has gotten out of control.
It's always on the table.
It's only funny till someone is forced to eat their own beard.
That's gross.
Hmm?
How did that occur?
You know, not since Liza Minnelli had to do that to David Guest. What? I don't know what I meant by that.
Louise Miller.
I don't even have a Mrs. Charlie Crist joke. I have nothing to say about any of this, except for the fact that Harvey Westmoreland said that two men cut off his beard, stuffed it into his mouth, and forced him to eat it. He said two former friends got angry as they tried to negotiate a price for the lawnmower they wanted to buy from him. Apparently, the price was wrong for that particular
I could say
lawnmower.
Something about Greg Brady here.
Let's go to the phones. Harriet in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Harriet.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
You start my morning every day. I love it. I love
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
But I was really upset with the gentleman who, unfortunately, Chris got cut off right at the time when he said, those people don't have any money to pay taxes, which is the point I was about to make. 15% of the population is unemployed. Well, they say 10, but, you know, let's give it a few more.
Yeah.
I mean, we know in Nevada, 15%.
State by state. Yeah, we're at, 12 out here, aren't we, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in California.
Those people can't pay taxes. So if we have, you know, that many people in a non-collectible tax situation, and how many more, I don't know, there are probably others who make so little money, they can't be taxed, whatever. Who is going to pay the eight people that make $8 million a year? Who's going to pay those people their $825,000? I'm just curious about that. You know, that is the figures they're throwing out now as far as mm-hmm. how much should be returned to these people that are so hard up,
yeah.
$8 million. So, I mean, you know, you got to figure in all the people that are unemployed, you know, and they're getting to be probably more than that. I say 15%.
Yep.
I don't really know.
I have a statistic on that.
Oh,
yep.
You do?
Oh. A typical unemployed worker is now out of work for over 20 weeks.
Oof.
Right.
The long-term unemployed workers who've been unemployed for 6 months or more,
yes,
made up 42% of the total of June 2010, the highest since the Great Depression.
Wow. Yeah. No, yes. I mean, that's, well, and you know why? Because the president's trip cost us $200 trillion a day.
I think you made that up.
I think
I did. Somebody
did. A job strategy. Because with every $1 billion we sell in exports, 5,000 jobs are supported at home.
He was talking about, the president one more time.
I make no apologies for doing whatever I can to bring those jobs and industries to America.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier, Edie. These companies, Frank Rich wrote another great piece about how much they're actually making and how little they need more tax cuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, how they are making an enormous profit, and part of how they're doing is outsourcing our jobs to other countries.
Oh, yeah.
And then, they get rewarded for that.
And the thing about the GDP, you know, and they said we spend more money when we just don't have it.
Yeah.
Well, it took this a massive government spending caused by World War II to finally get us out of the Great Depression. Federal spending during the war was 250% of gross domestic product in 1940.
Your commentating notes are very mathy today.
Yes. And defense spending was 125% of the GDP in 1940. The stimulus bill, in contrast, the stimulus bill of Obama was less than 6% of GDP.
That's right. Let's go to Bill in Knoxville, Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Yes, good. Go ahead.
I would just want to reiterate some of the facts that was being stated there about the fact that our government did invest heavily into America back during Roosevelt's years.
Yep.
And that the jobs have basically been sent overseas, and I think it's cost money to basically get jobs sent overseas. And I think a lot of it was our tax breaks that we gave in early 2000. It was the investment used to create that vehicle to send the jobs overseas.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly my point. If, you know, the subject is jobs, 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 then, you know, this is not how you address it. Let's go to Ben in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. You're on with Edie McClurg. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I heard some of the craziest stuff is coming out of my neighborhood in old neighborhood in PG County, Maryland. County Executive Jack Johnson got busted twice by the FBI for giving bribes for development deals. And on the second one, he called his wife, not realizing their phone was tapped, and said, tear up the $100,000 check I have stashed in the house and told her where to find it, and then take the $80,000 in cash we have and stick it in your underwear so they won't search you for it.
Wow.
Damn recording devices. All right. The lame duck session starts today, doesn't it, Chris?
It sure does.
House Democratic leaders have decided against putting major controversial bills on the floor in the first week of lame duck.
Well, that's lame.
Well, this,
yes, that's the lame in the lame duck.
Well, this week is pretty useless anyway because they're off again next week for Thanksgiving. Then they come back for more lame duck.
But how long? We don't have much time.
We don't have January is when the new Congress starts.
Yes, they're going to avoid fights over a child nutrition bill favored by First Lady Michelle Obama because Fox News will say that's a nanny state, so you don't want kids to have nutrition stuff like that. No, and the Dream Act, which would give citizenship to those who serve in the military or attend college,
says no,
and you can't have that.
No,
no,
that's communistical.
Exactly, crazy communistical things. Oh, by the way, I love this all the stuff that happened during the midterms in some of this right-wing hysteria. Edie, did you see this one? So Oklahoma voters, they banned Sharia law because that was apparently such a big threat. Sharia law
in Oklahoma
being imposed. Yes.
Okay. Some people are kind of dumb there.
They recently celebrated the novelty, becoming the first state to ban the non-existent threat of Sharia law. Under the Save Our State constitutional amendment, Oklahoma courts are forbidden from considering or using international and Sharia law in their rulings beyond the obvious First Amendment problems with the law. In their zealous war against the phantom Sharia menace, Oklahomans might find unexpected collateral damage to the Ten Commandments, businesses, and now Native Americans.
Oh?
Oklahoma has the second largest population, of course, of Native Americans in the U.S., and law experts say that the language in the law banning courts from looking at legal precepts of other nations or cultures could pose a problem if applied to tribal legal cases, as the tribes are considered sovereign nations. So, good job, Oklahoma!
Way to go!
I think it's interesting, you know, how so many jobs have been taken overseas and out of the country because they get cheaper labor there. So now we have a sitcom about the zany goings-on in the outsourced country.
It's called Outsourced. It's on NBC.
It's going to make everybody so lovable over there. Yeah. And this, of course they should have those jobs.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah. And of course, everybody is kind of an awful Indian stereotype on that
show. Of course.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I think this Oklahoma thing, this is going to, we need a, Cher's going to have to do a new version of Half-Breed. We're going to have to bring back that song Reservation. Remember that? I love that from the 70s.
Oh, Cherokee people, Cherokee tribe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love that almost as much as I love popcorn. That song, you know.
Oh, oh.
That one, the popcorn song.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm having a 70s flashback. I apologize.
I thought you were just talking about you really like popcorn, you know, like you do a big bowl every night.
Oh, we used it to do a Bill O'Reilly thing, didn't we? I don't remember why, but it just, oh, because he makes noises that sound gibberish like that song, yeah.
This one.
This is it, uh-huh.
One of the more irritating synthesizer uses.
Yes. And one of the more irritating Bill O'Reilly isms.
And we don't remember why he was making that sound. We just thought it would lend itself to this. And look, it did.
Yeah. All right, that's
the weirdest thing we've ever done.
That's kind of a diuretic.
Yeah.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Mondays with McClurg, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mondays with McClurg continues with the delightful E. McClurg. By the way, you were bringing up some statistics about taxes. David writes, Steph, according to Money Talk, taxes on the rich would only go up 3% to 36%. That's the thing is I don't know if people have a historical perspective on this. I was quoting Frank Rich's column earlier, and he said, incredibly, the top 1% of Americans now have tax rates a third lower than the same top percentile had in 1970. I mean, so the fact that we're even arguing about that kind of percentage, and he makes the point you made about the small income, small business. Only 2% of Americans reporting small business income, regardless of tax bracket, would see tax increases if Obama fulfilled his pledge to let the Bush tax cuts lapse for the top earners. The yearly tax increase at the lower end of that bracket for those with earnings $200,000 to $500,000 would amount to $700, which isn't enough to hire anybody. So all of these arguments are just... Anyway, and then he makes the point we make ad nauseum. Those in the higher reaches aren't investing in creating new jobs even now when the full Bush tax cuts remain in effect. So why would extending them change that equation? Just backing you up with some Frank Rich. There you go,
Very
Edie McClurg.
Good. Thank you. Thank
not
you, Frank.
Not that noted economist Edie McClurg needs any help.
The award-winning...
The award-winning economist. Yeah. Sure, her award wasn't for...
Economism, what?
No, what?
No, huh?
It's for acting, but still. The point is, she has an award, and she knows what she's talking about on the economy. All right. Fred in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Edie. Hello, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What these conservatives forget is that wealth is a measure of how much you've taken out of society, so you're being asked to give back in proportion to your benefits, you know. Otherwise, the society would become sterile. It'd be like Afghanistan, you know.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Thank you.
That from each according to their ability and to each according to their needs.
The longest time of American prosperity was when tax rates for the uber rich were 90%.
Yeah, exactly. Kim in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kim.
Hey,
remember Meg Whitman and Carly?
Yes.
Okay.
I can barely remember them. Was that this election cycle? Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's so yesterday.
You may need to Google them.
Uh-huh.
But here's the deal. Both of them made bazillions of dollars. They made it off of the Internet. And who, may I remind you, created the Internet? Government did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The military did. So all these people that have made amounts of personal fortune off of public tax dollars seem to forget somewhere along the way that they are recipients of massive amounts of our money. I'm telling you, a couple of decades ago, these people would not be saying, it's my $1 billion, I want every cent of my $1 billion, because they would have been shamed out of society.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Kimmy, really, really good point. Good historical perspective.
Thank you.
Vince in Norfolk, Virginia. Hello, Vince.
Hey, Steph. The MOOCs might be smarter on this than me. But
no, they're not smarter on anything.
I was thinking about the flat tax or this fair tax thing where they just charge like a 23% sales tax and nobody else pays taxes. I think this is a scam, because if we pay 23% to every business, then ultimately it's the business that collects the taxes, and they would have to get the taxes from the business. But all that will do is just increase their profits, and they'll find loopholes not to pay those taxes. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. I mean, ask your question again. Chris, you were talking.
Yeah, they're charging 23% on, like, on everything that's sold. So
right.
To increase their profits.
So it's a national sales tax, yeah.
Yeah, but then they'll just find a loophole not to pay that tax to the government.
Well, the idea is that there are no loopholes if we get a flat tax. You know, there are no deductions, no nothing. Everybody pays the exact same rate. That's the idea that's floated out there.
But that's through flat tax. But isn't a fair tax like a sales tax?
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's the same thing. No deductions.
No deductions.
No deductions.
No, I might be for that then.
Well, you know what though, that would really cut down on charitable giving, and you know, the housing market would take a dump.
Yeah, well, you're talking. Yeah, that's the worst idea in that commission, is getting rid of the tax credit for owning a house.
Yeah,
I mean, that's. All right, Jay in Flatsburg, New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I don't know what's going on, but all these people calling and complaining about no jobs. Let's just remember, the average person on planet Earth lives for less than $2 a day, and we elected Barack Obama to bring us way down to get as close to that number as we could. So stop complaining about jobs, because this is what we wanted.
Balsas is one.
We want to live on $2 a day?
Well, that's what we're trying to work towards, is a little bit of justice, bringing everything equal, right? Isn't that what
Yes, that's what we voted. Yes, he ran on socialism. That's exactly it.
Are you being, Jay, you're being... No.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was the most insanely idiotic thing.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Okay, let's go to Kimberly in San Francisco. Hello, Kim.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Listen, my head is exploding. That guy that called about 15 minutes ago, who was defending the tax cuts for the rich, and then he went on, well, I'll work three jobs and everything. You got to wonder, when people like say, all he's doing is he's working for the rich people. I just wonder, there's got to be something wrong in the water in these places to get people to think like that. And then you just had that guy on just before me.
Right.
You know, with this, Obama wants to put everybody down to $2.
Yes, that's what he ran on. You remember, he said, I want everyone to be able to live on $2 a day eventually. That's my goal.
Because that's the American dream.
That's my socialist goal for you.
God. There's got to be a putty in the water that causes that for people to do that. And they're like idiots, and they don't realize the rich are just, you know, basically raping up working people, and they got to have their tax cuts. And
exactly.
3% if you're a billionaire.
Exactly. No, well, that's the thing, Kim. That's what we're trying to give it some historical perspective this morning, because he's just, guys like this guy, like, oh, he's a socialist and he wants us all to, they keep framing it like, oh, we're taking money away from the rich. It's like, we are talking, we're in the 30s, whether it's 33 or 36 or something percent, as opposed, like you said, Chris, to 90% under Eisenhower, 70% in the, you know, I mean, it's just, how did they think the country functioned with the tax rates that high, when they apparently this is going to shut down the entire country to have you know rich people pay maybe 36%. What?
Well, back then the rich ended up paying about 36% because there were so many loopholes that have since been closed.
All right.
So it really was quite equitable back then.
If you have McClurgian needs, and who doesn't, you can go to ediemcclurg.com, correct?
There isn't much there, but you can look around.
or check out our IMDb page.
All right.
IMDb.
Those are
that's more up to date.
You can find her here next Monday. And we'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.